daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 Podcast. He's back again. It is Robbie Triano of SiriusXM, Big 12 Wizard. Robbie, you've been so spot on with everything happening in the conference that I had to bring you back to talk some things
thank
out.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a good and surprising season thus far.
Were you able to keep up with the Big 12 this weekend while you were at Music Festival Firefly?
Yeah, so I was at a music festival this weekend. Sadly, I was not able to watch the games, but as a good producer, did my homework, watched all the games in full. And man, I missed a very bad weekend, but I'm happy to come back and see everything is in chaos. You know, there's like this meme from the show Community when Donald Glover walks in with a pizza and he thinks everything's going to be all right, and then the room's on fire. That's me. I walked into a complete storm of the Big 12.
Yes. So you pick Kansas State. You spun the wheel. We talked about this before. You pick Kansas State as your team, but I feel like you should be allowed to switch to Baylor because
I really should.
I was totally wrong about Baylor. And also Kansas State losing Skylar Thompson, I feel like kind of like derailed what could have been. Cause I think it's a completely different team with Skylar Thompson. Like if Skylar Thompson's playing this weekend, Oklahoma fans would be absolutely horrified. They would be absolutely horrified. But he's not, and they're having issues. The team is not having issues, and you kind of saw this one coming. It's the Baylor Bears and Dave Aranda. Their team is 4-0, and I put some things together. Just to, you know, I know it's only four games in, but if you kind of take a look from year one to year two of what we have here. Year one, they were 2-7, 23 points a game, 33% on third downs. They only average around 90 rushing yards a game. This year, 4-0 record. 42.8 points per game, 45% on third down, and 272 rushing yards per game. Now, they haven't played great competition, but really elevating their play and a program-defining win, at least program under Dave Aranda, last week against Iowa State.
Yeah, it was quite the statement, and I'm happy you brought up that graphic because the thing that I've been so impressed about this team so far is it looks completely different from last year. Like, completely different. That Larry Fedora offense was a pain to watch. I know they didn't have good blocking, and most of their running backs were injured, but that was such an absolute pain to watch. And this year, this has been my favorite team to watch, the way Gary Bohannon has played at quarterback, the way he's able at sometimes to make the deep pass but also scramble, the way they have all of these weapons. It makes me think, like, why were we so down on this team? So many people, like, this is where in the COVID year we all want to be like, oh, this is what they are. But it just seems like this is a completely new team this year than last. And you have to give Dave Aranda a lot of credit. I think they made the best hires possible for Jeff Grimes. And throughout this year, heading into this Iowa State game, it was, oh, they were playing cupcakes. Let's see how they do. And then they play what we call at one point, a college football playoff team, and they beat them in the first conference game of the year. I don't know if that's more bad on Iowa State, but I'm going to give credit to Baylor to winning that football game.
Yeah, I thought Iowa State played well. Like, Breece Hall had an awesome game. I thought, given the level of competition, that was actually Brock Purdy's best game. Like, I know he lit it up against UNLV, but this is a really good defense, a good Baylor defense. And he had a good amount of success, obviously interception, but it really wasn't his fault because it was tip at the line. Baylor played a perfect game, Robbie, because their offense was good enough. They got the two big returns from Ebner. One was a touchdown. One was the one that set up a field goal. And their defense had, you know, made the right stops at the right time. I've mentioned this a bunch, but there were five separate trips that Iowa State had inside the Baylor 25 that ended in either a field goal for them and the field goals. And one of them ended in an interception, a very critical interception at that. So, you know, they bent, they didn't break. They took Iowa State's best punch early, went on a big run, took Iowa State's best punch late. And this, you know, we've talked about Dave Aranda a bunch and how there was some questions about how this is going to work out as him as a head coach. And that's a rough transition, especially in the COVID year. But he is, once again, as introspective as they come and clearly has reflected on the mistakes that he has made as a coach, he has made as a leader, and has got the right people in there right now. And I don't know how far they can take this. Once again, like, they won by two and they played essentially a perfect game, like the perfect Baylor game, given what they have. So I don't know how far they can take this, but I mean, you know, this is maximizing what that team has right now. Like, this, they are maximizing their potential at 4-0 right now. And I'm excited to see what the sustainability level is, because a lot of Big 12 teams are not humming on all cylinders. They are, and they have been the entire year.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about them humming. Like, we're probably going to talk about it later, about the struggles for the top of the conference. But for Baylor to open conference play with this, it really feels like they can kind of sneak into the door like they did in 2019. And going back to the Iowa State game, they made some stops at some really critical points, like you brought up. They forced Brock Purdy to throw an interception late in the game. They got the stop in that two-point conversion. It just feels like they have such a good foundation. And, like, compared to last year, it feels like Dave Aranda's, like you said, has been able to hone on that foundation. What they have this week, though, is, I think, maybe their biggest test. It will be their biggest test of the year, in my opinion, after the struggles Iowa State has. But going to Stillwater to play Oklahoma State, these both teams, I would consider them maybe the second, third, or fourth team, however you fit in the Big 12 conference. I would say these are two of the best teams in the conference right now. And the fact that they get to play this early with the momentum that they have, it's awesome. And honestly, I love it. I'm worried about the health of Terrell Bernard. I think that is a huge key for this team. But honestly, I love all the pieces that this team has offensively and defensively. And I'm, once again, earlier in the year, I said Baylor's going bowling. I think I undershot myself. I think they could do some real noise in this conference.
Yeah, they might. And it, you know, I wish they could play somebody else this week besides Oklahoma State, because I feel like both these teams just play well, good for us as fans. But, like, these two teams just both played their best game, right? Oklahoma State handled Kansas State, and you know, obviously Baylor gets the win. So, they're on a collision course.
Well, their schedule just stinks now. Oklahoma State, home at West Virginia, home at BYU. BYU is the number 13 ranked team in the country.
Right.
Home at Texas. It's happy those three games are home. And then they're at TCU and home against Oklahoma. It's a good thing most of their games are at home, so they could set up. But that is one hell of a gauntlet to go game after game after game. They have a bye game in between BYU and Texas, but my God, that is a tough stretch of games.
Right. It's an absolute difficult stretch of games. That's why it's like, let's appreciate them now. It's why I put Kansas State number two last week in my power rankings. Cause it's like, you have to have some foresight. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Look, and you can't stay on top of the pile forever, especially with some of these teams. So we have to give them their love when it is due. All right, Robbie, let's go to your second thing that you wanted to talk. Full disclosure, I asked for Robbie for like five storylines, five things you wanted to talk about. And a bunch of them, I mean, they're all super compelling. So the next one is the struggle of the Big 12 quarterback. Now, here you go. I made a thumbs up, thumbs down list, Robbie. So let's look at this.
Oh.
Thumbs up, Max Duggan. Thumbs up, Gary Bohannon. Thumbs up, Casey Thompson. And Jason Bean, relative to – he came out of nowhere, honestly, to become their – I mean, he beat out two guys. You know, it felt like Miles Kendrick might be the guy because obviously he's a veteran. And then obviously Jalen Daniels was there and played some last year. Jason Bean, I thought, has come in and did a pretty good job, all things considered. Thumbs down, Spencer Rattler, Spencer Sanders, Brock Purdy, Jared Daigie. Skylar Thompson was doing fine, but Kansas State's quarterback's going to pass, but all things considered, it is a thumbs down.
Correct.
And it should be Tyler Shuck / the Texas Tech quarterback situation, because it's been up and down. First half bad against Houston. Second half really good. Weird game against Stephen F. Austin. They throttle FIU. It's whatever. And then this game where they don't look very sharp in the beginning. Tyler Shuck gets injured, throws a pick six. Henry Columbia looks pretty good in a relief effort, but also so they're them in Kansas State more towards the middle, I would say. But let's go with the thumbs up guys first. Just kind of let's look at that. You were right on Max Duggan. He has looked a lot better. It's weird. TCU has a ton of problems, and none of them right now involve what's happening on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I love Max Duggan's play, and also it helps that he has Zach Evans to be this type of like running back in the conference, right, who I consider one of the best to elevate or like take that pressure off him. So the threat of running is so high that he can pass. I love Max Duggan's game. I think he's great. I think that loss against SMU is going to hurt them, but I think that Max Duggan is showing his potential here. For right now, I think Gary Bohan has been playing the best in the conference right now. I mean, his record dictates it. His wins play it as well. He doesn't turn over the ball very much. I like those two quarterbacks very much. And you talk about Jason Bean. I mean, like, his team is not very good.
He's running for his life. I mean, he has to do everything back there.
I think he is by far the best option. Before the year, talking about Miles Kendrick, and then we look at Jason Bean coming out of nowhere. He's able to scramble. He's able to throw the ball. I think, like, in that game against Coastal Carolina, a game that they were supposed to lose by a lot, which they did, he didn't turn over the ball at all. So for a quarterback in his second start at a Power 5 school and not turn the ball over, that's really important. And the thing is, like, we talk about the struggle of the Big 12 quarterback. I mean, we all thought Spencer Rattler was going to be the number one overall pick. That offense has looked worse that it's had in years, under the worst that Lincoln Riley's had. Spencer Sanders had a great game against Kansas State, but besides that, very turnover prone. Brock Purdy, I mean, he has been by far the most disappointing quarterback in this league. That game against Iowa, I think, will forever haunt him. And I think that will be the story of Brock Purdy when he graduates, that he could never, ever get over that hump. Jarrett Daigie, I mean,
I put an extra T in there, by the way. I apologize, Jarrett Daigie. No, it's one T, not two.
He's probably dealt with it before, so it's okay for him. But Jarrett Daigie,
he's got bigger things to worry about than Mike Spellio's name.
He has some just random passes that are just like, what are these type of turnovers? Why are you throwing this ball? Like, you can just get rid of it. Or the way he'll – I have a lot of problems with him. And also, I think Neil Brown understands he has a lot of problem going to another quarterback, Garrett Green. And then, Tyler Shuck and that whole Texas Tech situation. I mean, he's not the quarterback we thought, and he gets hurt, and it's Henry Columbia. Henry Columbia also made some awesome throws at Texas. Like, where did this come from? But that did not show up how we've been. It's sad for Texas Tech because I had high expectations. That game against Texas is really demoralizing. So, yeah, when I talk about the struggle of the Big 12, we were talking about how this conference has so much death at the quarterback position.
Right.
But yet I feel like this league has just been completely run heavy because the quarterbacks have been so bad, or some quarterback situations didn't pan out like we thought, like Kansas State and Iowa State.
Yeah, I think to go back to Gary Bohan and kind of just put a bow on the Baylor thing, like, that was kind of the observation everybody made when they made the decision, right? Okay, they're going with this guy because they trust him the most to take care of the ball. Because I think if you watched either of the guys, you know, him and Jacob Zeno just transferred, but like, if you watch either guy throw the ball, like, Jacob Zeno obviously has a bit more of an opportunity to hit some explosive, big downfield passes, you know, to make those kind of eye-popping throws. But Bohannon takes care of the football. He takes care of the football. He manages possessions well. We had John Morris, play guy, on yesterday for the Baylor Bears. He talked about how he has not thrown an interception yet. Did lose a fumble, but still has not thrown an interception yet. And that's been absolutely huge. For, you know, I think a lot of these guys, like, a lot of it, especially for the two Spencers, the offensive line play is usually a bellwether of how those guys are going to perform, right? Like, last week, Oklahoma State had their best offensive line game I think we've seen in a pretty long time. And guess what? Spencer Sanders was zipping all over the field. The design runs were working. Everything went well. Same thing for Spencer Rattler. You know, this Oklahoma offensive line, it's not as good as it used to be. And look, actually, if you look at the numbers, like, there we go. We're back. Obviously, the flip. It wouldn't be a show with Robbie and I unless that happens. So you look at what happens, you know, there. Spencer Rattler, obviously, like, his decision-making needs to get better, but he's still completing a lot of his passes. They're not the downfield offensive passing attack that we're used to seeing. They're not able to get that going. And also, that running game has not been getting going. I will say this, Robbie. Last year, a couple of things. Number one, they were bad in September and turned it around in October. Now you kind of think about this, too, is that, you know, like they've got an opportunity to kind of get to exercise the demons that they have against Kansas State kind of all wrapped into one. So it's that October turning the corner opportunity. And also last week, think about that last drive they had against West Virginia. West Virginia opened the door. They gave them the opportunity to score. And what happened? They went down the field and they scored and they won the game. So I think, you know, while people are calling for Caleb Williams or whatever, like, let's wait one more game before we really start throwing a massive fit about what's happening at OU.
Yeah, I think you bring a good point there about the offensive line. Maybe this could just be the struggle of the offensive line, because definitely at Oklahoma, they have not been able to do anything they want offensively. And I think we've just been spoiled. I think I can just take that for what has happened at Oklahoma. They've been able to compensate. They've had great offensive lines, but they've also had these just unbelievable quarterbacks. And I think we've just put so much on Spencer Rattler that I expect him to, you know, compensate for the mistakes that Oklahoma has and their deficiencies. So that's where I'm like, oh, okay, we need Spencer Rattler to step up. He hasn't. Weird fact, though, he has completed 74.1%
right.
of his passes. So it's difficult because, you know, we want him to be this so much, and we just heralded him as the Heisman before the season even started. So I think you have a good point about the offensive line. That could be a major reason Rattler has struggled. But also, I think there's just some throws he is late on, some throws I don't think he's just hitting. It's just been, you know, not the type of Oklahoma quarterback that we've seen. And do I think he deserves to be booed? I don't think any fan should boo their own fan. Another storyline that is just like a sidebar. Does any fan base love their team right now? Seems like Oklahoma hates their team. Seems like Oklahoma State fans hate their team. I think the only fan base that could love their team right now is Baylor and Texas. Those are the only two people I'm like, you have to be confident.
And even Texas fans are probably mad at the Arkansas game still, right?
I know. But looking at Arkansas, we actually know they're really good now that they beat Texas A&M. Right? So it's like that loss makes a little bit more sense. The pain is a little relieved from that. But I feel like every team in the Big 12 hates their team so much. And so,
yeah,
I don't understand the booing of the fans, but yeah.
Like I get it, but like also, you know, I understand your paying customer, whatever, those kinds of arguments. The counter I would have to that is like, these are college kids. Remember that? And if you are somebody who is older than 18 to 22, like just think about yourself at that age and think about if somebody basically, if we preordained you the number one pick in the draft, the Heisman front runner, in a long line of guys that, you know, even Jalen Hurts, right? The third guy who didn't win the Heisman, but he was number two, took him to a playoff, and also is a starting quarterback in the NFL right now. That it's a lot to live up to. And I've been mentioning this a bunch, but I think it's important. Like Lincoln Riley even said that after the game, you know, and this is kind of stealing thunder for what's happened later. So let's save the Oklahoma stuff, actually do it a little bit later. Third thing we'll get to in a second, but first, a word from our sponsors, our friends at Prize Picks. Robbie, we got over-unders on punting yards, on touchdowns scored, on over, you know, interceptions. Prize Picks has all of it. It's available in most states. Check it out right now. Download the app. It's the right way to play fantasy sports. You can go there today, sign up, use a promo code Locked On. It's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for a deposit bonus when you sign up. But all kinds of props, they're available at Prize Picks, the best way to play daily fantasy. All right, your number three storyline that we're going to get to. Steve Sarkisian and the new look Texas offense. So you have the hiccup against Arkansas and you kind of think, okay, you know, maybe the game against ULL was a bit of an aberration. Well, they've scored over 120 points in their last two games combined. I know Tech's defense isn't great, but this is what the offense is supposed to look like. And Robbie, I want to put up something right here to just kind of give you an idea of the way they've been humming. Casey Thompson, 78% completion percentage, 565 in the air, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, and he's done a good job running the ball as well. Bijan Robinson, 436 in the rushing yards department, 145 receiving, 7 total touchdowns, 7.4 yards per touch. And one guy I really want to talk about is Roschon Johnson, because 25 rushes for 206, 3 scores, 37 receiving yards, 8.7 yards per touch. I think a part of what makes Bijan so effective is the fact that you don't have to ride him necessarily in the way that a West Virginia rides a Breece Hall. in the way that in a way that Iowa State rides Breece Hall, in a way that West Virginia rides Aleti Brown, because you can give him some breaks, right? You don't have, you know, he's dynamite basically every touch. But the reason why they can get so much out of him touch for touch is because when they're bringing in the backup and Roschon Johnson, the production level really isn't dropping off that much in terms of what is he giving us on a down to down, you know, basis. This is a guy who could easily, what he did last game, go for 100 yards in a game. He is nowhere near the talent level that Bijan is, but he is an experienced, successful runner who knows, you know, how to get the most out of his reps. He knows his number two. He can go full tilt every single rep he gets because, you know, their job is to go, you know, kind of, you know, him to spell Bijan and be effective and get him a blow. And that means he can kind of empty the tank every single time he gets the ball. I mean, he's been really effective. So I think that running back combination has been so important because we've been waiting for that next guy to step up at wide receiver. It looks like we've heard about Xavier Worthy. It looks like it could be Xavier Worthy after the game he had last time, but you know, that's still TBD. But in the meantime, they've got, I mean, all three guys in the backfield, Casey, Bijan, and also Roschon, all effective in their own way.
Yeah, totally agree with you on that. Fozzie Whitaker, one of the hosts on Big 12 Radio and also a former Texas running back, compared Bijan Robinson to a specific player. He said Reggie Bush. He has shades of Reggie Bush. And it makes me think, Steve Sarkisian used to work for USC. Bijan Robinson is Reggie Bush. Is Roschon Johnson the Lendell White? The way they can interchange these two players, obviously he's not as big
as Lendell.
But like the way they're able to intertwine these two. And at one point, Roschon Johnson was running the Wildcat for a goal line, not a goal line, but in a red zone score in a situation. This offense has been a lot of fun to watch. And something that we've criticized a lot, me included, I think everyone who watches Texas before the last two games, how have they handled this quarterback situation? You know, snip snap of Hudson Card and Casey Thompson. And it looks like Casey Thompson is really proving to be that guy leadership wise and also just what he can do on the field, the way he can scramble against Texas Tech, throws 5 touchdowns. I know historically speaking, and Texas Tech does not have a great defense historically speaking. Matt Wells was really high on it this year. So the fact that Texas can hang 70 points on this defense is just like amazing. Game number 4. And the year, thing we came in coming the year, what type of players do they have? What type of skill weapons do they have? Xavier Worthy has been awesome. Jordan Whittington has been awesome. And the way they have been used has been awesome. I'm really high on Texas this year. I think right now, if we were to rank the number one team in the conference, I would put them. I think their talent has been used the best. I think their defense has been solid. I think right now they are the best team in the conference. And that game against Arkansas was, I think Arkansas is just a great team and they were on the road. I think that is just something that as we head into Big 12 play, Oklahoma has not shown great. We'll talk about that. But Texas has been, I think, the best team in the conference so far this year.
Yeah, I love the idea of Steve Sarkisian as a problem solver, right? I don't think enough times we think about these offensive guys as almost always ahead of the curve, right? Like that's kind of where they're positioned in terms of a football brain. But like the idea that they are problem solvers is not something that we always talk about, right? And so obviously they have massive problems in that second game of the year. And they make the switch to Casey in the game, right? And then they make it going forward. So maybe you kind of, you know, see that, hey, Sark identifies the problem is the offensive line is not as good. Maybe it's a bit too early for Hudson Card, especially on a playing field where the athletes are a bit more even, right? Maybe you need a guy who can give more time for your wide receivers to get open, to create some space, your playmakers to get into certain areas. Casey Thompson does that, and it's been the right fix. Now, I'm excited to see, you know, TCU has been a major thorn in Texas' side the last few years. But also, their defense has been so bad this year, which makes TCU-Texas this really compelling matchup come Saturday. But yeah, as for right now, Texas has it humming. Number 4, Robbie, on your list is the Big 12 is about running the football, and it's about defense. And to illustrate these two things, we've got some numbers here. Here is the running for you. I know it's in gray. Shout out to the PDF on the Big 12 website, not as aesthetically pleasing, but look at the amount of guys that are in this conference that are averaging over 80 yards a game on the ground. You know, you've got obviously Zach Evans, who's been leading that charge. Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, Abram Smith is on this list, Deuce Vaughn, Jalen Warren, Taj Brooks, Tristan Ebner. And here's what's amazing about this, Robbie, is that like we just mentioned with Texas, there are so many secondary backs that actually complement a lot of these guys really well. I mean, you think about, you know, we talked already about Roschon Johnson. Tristan Ebner is a, you know, is actually probably not the best. He's not the pure better running back of the two guys they use in that backfield. I would say it's more Abram Smith. Obviously, TCU's got a nice combination there. Xavier White and Taj Brooks are a nice combination if you add in Sir Roderick Thompson, also at Texas Tech. Like all of these schools, and even, you know, even I know the Oklahoma thing's not really worked out, but I think the fact that they've got, you know, multiple backs that they can use that are pretty good. And then, you know, the defensive side of things too, how good these defenses have been. But I'll let you go on the running backs thing first. Take it wherever you want with what you've seen with the ground attacks in the Big 12.
One example I'm going to use, and I think what has really spurred this conversation, this talking point that I had, is I want to look at Oklahoma State for a second, because this is a team that is known for that Mike Gundy offense, throwing it around. But what they have done with Jalen Warren, he has saved their entire year because their quarterback play has not been as great because of the injury to Spencer Sanders and also that offensive line. But the way that they have just been able to adapt to go to the run and Jalen Warren and be so heavy on that and rely on their defense. And also when you look at Oklahoma, their running game has not been the best. This is a team that we have known forever for their offense over the past decade. They have won all of their games because of their defense. They have scored the least amount of points in the Lincoln Riley area their last two games. I mean, they score 16 points against West Virginia. What are we talking about? And then Nebraska, they only scored 23 points. What are we talking about? So the fact that this league, we are known for this type of air raid type of system, has been so dominant on the run. And I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air. And I'm from Big Ten country. I root for Michigan State. I lived in Michigan. That's what I grew up looking football, being a good defense, being physical, being able to run the football. And I feel like the Big 12 heard all the criticism of no defense. All they do is score points. All they do is throw the ball. And I think this year they're making a stylistic change to run the ball a lot more and be more physical. And it's been kind of a change of pace for this league. And I think it's been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, it's, and they've had these, luckily for them, they've had these running games to lean on because of, you know, the lack of quality quarterback play. I mean, it's been huge. The defenses, though, there are six teams that are giving up less than 20 points a game right now in this conference. And the fact that they all do it kind of in a variety of ways, right? I mean, all these teams, you know, they're known for kind of different and unique defensive systems. Obviously, Oklahoma State, known for their blitzing, Kansas State, their three-man front, Iowa State and West Virginia, their kind of exotic looks they give. Dave Aranda is known for his tough-nosed line of scrimmage type style defense. Though they get punched in the mouth a little bit last week, they didn't break like we talked about. And Oklahoma, you know, with the job that's been done there, I mean, it's, you know, their defense, like in past years, it's kind of been like, hey, but the offense can take care of things until we get our defense together. The defense is currently holding down the fort. Ever since that, you know, they did their job in the end of that game against Tulane, they were able to hold up. But ever since that game, the defense has been fantastic, getting the requisite stops, taking care of business, and forcing turnovers as well, getting to the quarterback. I know it's not always the most consistent defense, but, you know, that's been the story, is a lot of these schools. And West Virginia's defense deserves a lot of credit because they got punked last week by their offense. The offense was their undoing. And look, holding Oklahoma to 13 points all game long, they should have been in a situation where West Virginia kicks a field goal, goes up 16-13, and you know, the length of the field is needed to go by, you know, with a lead. That's the spot they should have been in. It didn't end up that way, and I don't really blame them for giving up a total of 16 points to a Oklahoma outfit. But it's been a great defense. The number of times that we have seen Oklahoma State hold the fort, I mean, talk about leaning on your defense. Like, it's not just been inability on offense, it's been turnovers as well, which have really hurt them. So I think when you think about those situations, you've got to consider the fact that, hey, this is a defensive conference now, the best team of the conference, and Iowa State too. Like, their offense has cost them games. Their defense 100%. Has not cost them any game yet. So These are schools that are programs relying on that great defense right now. What's impressed you the most? What defensive, besides Baylor, besides your Baylor Bears, which defense have you liked the most?
I think Oklahoma State has been the best of the year so far. I mean, holding opponents to under 23 points every game. I mean, they've been unbelievable. Oklahoma, we know they have the talent there. And, like, they have the defense where if they had a good offense or at least a respectable offense right now, they could be in the national championship conversation. I know they haven't played the best of talent, but Oklahoma has the pieces to be great. Like, to be great. If I were to pick the five defenses that I truly believe are above average or great, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Iowa State, Oklahoma, West Virginia. Iowa State's defense is unbelievable, but the fact that special teams shot them in the foot against Baylor and that their offense just sputtered uncontrollably against Iowa is ridiculous. So I think this league is shaping in a way that is completely different, and I hate when people are still talking about Big 12 and they say, oh, the offense, it's just offense, or like the stereotypical when they're talking about a team and they score so many points. They're like, yeah, Big 12 defenses. I hate it. I hate it. Watch the games. Look how it's happening. I don't think it's bad offenses in this league. I don't think it is. I think there's so many great skill players, especially at the running back position. And like this league, I think if you were to rank the top five skill position players, I think all of them would be running backs, or at least some like Charlie Kolar or something. Like this is just a really dominant league of running backs. And I think it's like really refreshing to see how this league has been changing. And I think it's been fun to watch.
We talk about how, you know, these teams aren't good enough up front. Well, I mean, we'll find out, right? Because this league is going to test you up front, because what do the majority of the teams do well? Run the football. So we're going to know how good you are up front. And like, you know, like I said, like Baylor's defense is very good. They ran into a offense last week in Iowa State that's got great weapons, that used them all really well. And what they do? Okay, we gave up almost 500 yards of total offense, but what do? Get the stops. And that's what John Morris said yesterday. He didn't care about the yards, you know, Dave Aranda. It's about the stops. And think about think about West Virginia too. Stops against Virginia Tech that they got at the end of the game, right? After two horrible turnovers in that game by Jared Daigie, the defense said, no, we got you. And I think that's kind of the story of the first month of the season. I know we look at offense always in this conference, but the way the defenses have responded, and look, has it always resulted in wins? No. West Virginia last week, it didn't result in a win. You know, Iowa State against Iowa didn't result in a win. Iowa State against Baylor didn't result in a win. They held Baylor under 300 total yards of offense. They're limiting teams to only less than 4 yards of play. They're one of like three teams in the country. I think it's A&M, Georgia, and Iowa State right now, the three teams nationally that are doing that. And that's a big story. So, yeah, save it with the Big 12 defenses.
Yeah.
Save that crap. We don't need that. All right, one more word from our sponsors before we get to your last thing. Sweatblock wipes, Robbie. If you're in the crowd, if you're at a music festival, these probably would have been nice to have. The Sweatblock wipes. 7-day dry shirt guarantee. They've been featured on the Rachel Ray Show, tested by firefighters. Thousands of reviews on Amazon. It's a bestseller there, has been for the last 10 years. It's number one on Amazon in their antiperspirant category. That's pretty impressive there, too. You can get them today at sweatblock.com. Promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, for 20% off. Or you can find them at Amazon or CVS. Also, today's show brought to you by Built Bar. Go to built.com today. Check out the latest line of Built Bars they've got right now. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, 17 to 18 grams of protein, only 130 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. You can go there right now, built.com. It's the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Fun fact right there. Go to built.com, promo code LOCKED15, 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 for 15% off today at built.com. All right, Robbie, so let's get to those two top teams. The top dogs continue to struggle. So let's go with Oklahoma first. I have my power rankings. I'm going to show them to you in a second, but I have Oklahoma number one, and I'm kind of somebody that doesn't always like to lean on the past when we're making power rankings, but this Oklahoma group they currently have is so similar to last year's group. And I think from a talent perspective, you could definitely argue that all around talent, they're a little bit better. The one place they're not is the offensive line. And that appears to be the – and you and I are no offensive line gurus, nor do we look like our offensive line gurus. But we do work with people. Gabe Eicher, namely, played center in Oklahoma and says that they just look confused. They don't look like they understand what they're supposed to be doing. They seem a bit lost. And that, as the season persists, that will eventually cost them, in my opinion. Now, they have time to work it out, and this will be a great weekend to see how they do against Kansas State, because we saw Oklahoma State control line scrimmage and beat them. I think the blueprint's pretty much there for OU to do the same with the talent that they have. Curious to see what your thoughts are on OU and kind of what your optimism level is for them as they move forward their season.
This team has been so it's difficult because in radio over the summer, you just regurgitate the same things over and over. OU is going to be a national championship type of team. This is the best team that we've had in such a long time. Is this Lincoln Riley's best team? And when you look at it, like, no, no. Like, they don't have a running game in a league where we just talked about how important it is to have a running game. They do not have the players. They do not have, like, I listen to Gabe a lot, and he talks about the offensive line because I need to know that because I'm an idiot. I'm 6'2", and I'm 180. Like, there's no way I know anything about offensive line play. Right. And it's just like when I look at this offense, sometimes just some players just look lost. And when I look at it and the things we know about this offense, I don't think they're accomplishing anything that we thought that we've seen in the past. And if you look at this team and say, what is one thing besides defense that they do great right now? I don't know.
They're good at rushing the quarterback, but like they only got one sack last week on Jared Daigie.
Right.
So you're right.
So when it comes to Oklahoma, yes, they are 4-0, but can you come away from any game besides Western Carolina and be like, yes, they made a statement that they are one of the best teams in the country, and they haven't. But because they are Oklahoma, they are the number six team in the country, and they are the number one team in the Big 12 for most people. And it's just, I hope they get things together because I want this conference to have someone at the end of the year on stage, on a big stage. Could it be Texas if they roll through the Big 12? Yes. Could it be a Baylor if they pull off the miracle season? Sure. It's just, I don't know how we can look at this Oklahoma team and be like, yeah, they can beat a Georgia. Yeah, they can beat Ohio State if that's the case. Yes, they can beat an Oregon. There's nothing that has promised from the preseason to now. And it's startling to see what exactly is happening because we just view Lincoln Riley as this like God sent of offense. And they've shown nothing of that so far.
Yeah, you know, I said early in the season, Oklahoma State, it felt like their motto was going to be by hook or by crook, they're going to get the job done this year. Maybe that's Oklahoma, right? They had the game against Tulane, they turn it over late. And, they're able to get a stop. You have the game against Nebraska where it's, a lot closer than it should be. You should be pulling away, but Nebraska has the ball later on in that game in a one-possession game. Get a stop. Against West Virginia, you're in danger of going down. The center false starts and snaps the ball by Jared Daigie, and you go down and score a touchdown. Like, against the Power 5, against the Division 1 teams they played this year, against the FBS-level teams, all their games have been one score. And, so that's concerning, and the quality of play is concerning. On the other side, have they played a team as good as Georgia, like Clemson did? No. But, I think if you track their ranking in the AP top 25, and usually spread that stuff out, but they went from number 2 to 6, which means two things. Number 1, they're not playing very well. Number 2, they still haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
So that's unlike Ohio State. It's unlike Iowa State. It is unlike Clemson, right? All of those, A&M, for another example, those teams that took a tumble, took a spill. Once again, not saying they've played the quality of team that those other schools have, but they are still winning games, and there are opportunities for improvement. West Virginia, I said this last week, they're the perfect kind of team to give Oklahoma trouble because the way their defense gets after you and the fact that they're a first-half football team, they are not good in the second half at all in offense. Mm-hmm. It's just not what they do. It's what they're built. They can't stay in offense.
They love to score early, get the lead, and hold on to it. That's what Western Virginia wants to do.
Pray they can hold on to it. Yeah. Has not worked for a couple of times, but yes, it's worked once for them this year. That's you know, I was like, if they have a better quarterback, it's the perfect team to probably upset and go get Oklahoma at this point. But I'm now curious to see, all right, we have enough examples of you guys holding on. Time to go grab the bull by the horns moving forward. And I think it's difficult to have a group that's this talented, the challenge they're going to have this week. I think they win in a big way. And I thought it was going to be last week. I really think it's going to be this week that they do it. And people on here will say, you're a homer for the Blue Bloods, whatever. Look, I'm just not going to bet against that level of talent. They've won the conference this six times in a row for a reason. Now, this is the most problematic offensive line they've had in a long time, and they've got to find ways to roll Rattler out, which I actually think he prefers to do. Get him in space, create plays, add Caleb Williams in my opinion, in some spots, a la Emory Jones when Kyle Trask was the quarterback at Florida. Not saying bench him. That's a bad idea. Do not put a freshman quarterback behind that offensive line. It's not going to go well. Promise you it's not. Mm-hmm. I think there are ways that they can correct as much as possible. Do I think this team will win a championship? I don't think it's going to reach that level. But they could they get to a point where they can run the table? Maybe. I actually think that's still in play. It feels like you're not on the same page with me on that, but I think it might still be in play.
I think the window right now for any other team has never been wider in this conference. I think this is like the one chance we could actually see that six-time Big 12 championship. I think it's six. I don't know. I lose chance to go down. Six. So this is a team, like, I know Bill Beatenbow is a great offensive line coach. I think there's a lot of players that have not been experienced on that. And I think the way they utilize some players, Eric Gray is dynamic when he has space. He has not had space once in any of this type. I don't think these players have been really put in the best spots this year. So when I look at Oklahoma, yes, they're 4-0, but I'm seeing the gap that we thought that was there between them and the rest of the conference just kind of get a little bit more slower, like a little bit closer with each other. And that gap between them and Iowa State right now is somehow even farther than we thought.
Yeah, yes, which is weird. That brings us to Iowa State. So the question going into the season was, who is the second best team in the conference? Who is the third best team? It is now, who is the second best team in the conference? Because Iowa State, I think they have a chance to reclaim that mantle, and they're not out of the Big 12 title hunt. But with that loss to Baylor, the job just got a lot more difficult. You got to ask yourself now, if some team kind of rises up and starts to play really good football, it's almost like baseball, right? Like how many, you know, you're one down in the loss column, right? How many more potential losses can you have the rest of the way if you're Iowa State and still come out on, in a position to play for a Big 12 title? Once again, doable, and they are slow starters. To me, though, this just feels like they just can't get everything working at the same time. They cannot. Their defense has been great all year. The run game is really good. A lot of this does fall on Brock Purdy just being inconsistent. I know we've said it a bunch, but like last week, I thought he was really good. Like I thought he had a really strong week, and the interception was tip ball. But you know, I don't really know what to say. Like the Iowa game was kind of a throwaway, but they just got beat last week. They straight up just got beat because their special teams, which really matters, wasn't good enough, in my opinion. That's what faulted them. They outgained. They were more disciplined. They held the football longer than Baylor did. But the other stuff cost them, and that's the problem for me, Robbie. They can't seem to put it all together at once.
Yeah, this team, I think, is very accident-prone, and I think that Brock Purdy is the worst quarterback to have in there if you're an accident-prone team. Yeah, he played good against Baylor, but this is the team now, I think teams know the blueprint of how to beat Iowa State, and it's make Brock Purdy beat you, and he's going to screw up at some point. This is a team that I feel terrible for if you're a fan, because yes, they can still win the Big 12 conference. We thought this was a college football playoff team. Were we too ahead of ourselves there? I don't even know, because last year they proved it the way they're playing throughout the Big 12 conference. And then in that championship game, they played Oklahoma really close. I'm sad because I don't think Iowa State can be better than this, to be honest. I don't think Iowa State has that level to jump up. Maybe I'm wrong when Oklahoma and Texas leave this conference, and if Matt Campbell stays, I think they can be as good. But this is an unbelievable defense. You have one of the best running backs in the Big 12, Breece Hall, one of the best running backs in the country. You have one of the best tight ends in the country, maybe
two of the best tight ends in the country. Allen's pretty good, man. He's pretty good, too, behind Kolar.
So when this team is 2-2, you're just like, man, that sucks. Can they still win the conference, though? I think they have a really good chance, and they have a good ramp. They're playing Kansas this week. I hope that gives them the confidence they need. Yeah. And then they go at Kansas State, who is a depleted bunch right now without a real quarterback or first two quarterbacks if Will Howard or Skylar Thompson can't play. So if you're an Iowa State fan, you have to be optimistic that you can run the table. But, man, coming into the season, there's so many high hopes. And the fact that we are so down on what we thought were the top two teams is sad. But it makes it more fun for the rest of the right. league. And I'm looking forward to that.
Glass half full. I think there's motivation there. Like, I know the expectations, but for those guys in that locker room, it's not even about like playing for a Big 12 championship at this moment. To me, it's like, remind everybody why we thought you were that good, right? Give us a taste of what that was like for your own personal, you know, for them personally, for them as a collective group. Like, I think that's really important because they're too well-rounded of a group. They're too talented of a team. They're too well-coached to be 2-2.
And you know what month is coming up?
It is Rocktober.
Rocktober is coming up.
I do think if they lose again, like there's a chance you might want to go, and it's Brock Purdy's kind of, I don't want to say fault, but it's on him. Maybe you make the switch just because it's Hunter Deckers is a guy that you want to see if he's there for the future. And look, give him good weapons right now. It might be the right time to kind of give him a look to see what you got.
No, I totally agree with that. And Brock Purdy, I mean, he's had great moments in this conference. It's coming to an end. And I think
the problem was there 2 or 3 years ago. That's the problem. Yeah, for him.
If you're Matt Campbell, you may be looking like you love your guy. He's been your guy for a while. But sometimes you just got to go in a different direction. And I love the fans of Ames. I think they deserve better than what they've gotten this year based on the team that they have. So, I mean, I hope they make a good run. But right now, I don't see them making it to the Big 12 championship game.
All right, Robbie, here is – let's see if I can get it to pop up. It is the power rankings I have made. There is a Big 12 logo. You can't find a Big 12 logo at a website without a little thing attached to it. So Baylor, shout out to you with that logo there.
Oh yes.
Would you switch? So you would put Oklahoma 2 behind Texas
right now. Yes. The records are different, but Texas right now, I think has the momentum showing signs of being great. I think Texas Tech is worse than I thought, even though they went undefeated in non-conference play based on that game. But I'm just going to believe that Texas has this great offense because they've shown that hanging 70 points is not just some type of fluke of a bad defense. You have to still score 70 points. So I'm riding Texas right now, and especially in conference play, they've looked the best. I would have Oklahoma number 2 right now, but I love the rest of your list.
How do you feel about Baylor and Oklahoma State? I think Oklahoma State wins this week, but I think Baylor, given what they showed us, deserves that bump to up to number 3.
Totally agree. I think they've handled their non-conference play in fashion. I think they beat the number 2 team in the conference that we all thought of. So yeah, I'm team Baylor, but that ranking means nothing because this week we're really going to find out. And yeah, I think these teams are so evenly matched. One could be 3, one could be 4. You can have it either way. I think both of these teams right now are in lockstep of how, like, where they are as a team.
All right, Robbie, where can people find you and, you know, where can they interact with the Triano Kid?
Come to me on Twitter at the Triano Kid. I tweet a lot about the Big 12. So if you're interested in that content, come there. If you have an account still or a SiriusXM account, or you want one, go steal your mom's credit card, go get a job, buy a subscription to SiriusXM. We have content in the mornings, and Josh and I work in the afternoons for Big 12 Today with Dusty Dvorak, Gabe Eichard, Chris Plank. If you don't get enough Big 12 content here, come over and join us. It's a lot of fun.
And you can get a free trial too. So that's one.
I know it's cheaper for students too. So if there are any students out there, go right ahead.
There you go. All right, Robbie, I will see you in roughly 45 minutes.
Sounds good. Thank you, Josh.